Okay, everybody, it's Tad Hargrave from marketingforhippies.com. Again, here we are, week four. I can't believe the weeks are flying by so fast. And this is kind of the week that's, in some ways, the whole point of this whole time is this idea of niche projects. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm super excited. This call is going to be really interactive. Those of you who've got some little circles that are kind of ready, we're going to get a chance to workshop with you. You guys are going to get some really cool ideas. And brainstorming from other people in the group. So I want to thank everyone who's been so active on not only posting your own things, but commenting on other people's stuff and sharing reflections. It makes such a difference to this group when you all do that. So thank you. I shouted some of you out in the group. Some more people have been active in the last day or so. So thank you. It feels so exciting to collaborate and see everybody's ideas and reflections on the little circles and giving that kind of direct, honest feedback so people can really see, is this clear or isn't it clear? And if you're not there yet, don't worry. We'll get you there. You don't have to have it done for this call. But the fact that we do have some kind of clarified, and thanks to all of you for contributing and supporting those people and getting clear, we have something we can work with, which I think will help this call make a lot more sense and the concept of niche project land with a lot more clarity. So one of the sort of overall concepts I want to toss out here, and there's a blog post that I wrote about this that I'll find and put up, is this distinction between fast and slow marketing. And it's interesting. I recently wrote a blog post called Slow Marketing. And, you know, there's the slow food movement, slow fashion, slow sex, slow everything. That's kind of this book was written called In Praise of Slow by Carl Honoré, I think it's pronounced. And his notion was just, you know, God, we've got this fast food culture and we need to slow down, enjoy our food and enjoy the company and all that. And I've had a similar feeling about marketing for a long time, this need to slow everything down a bit and give ourselves a break. That there's so much hype and so much wanting us to get everything done immediately right away. And even though 6 weeks is kind of slower than a weekend workshop might be, it's still kind of fast in a lifetime and to try to figure out some of these issues. So if you're feeling a little behind, it's not that you're behind, you're right on track. This course is just a little fast, that's all. But so this notion of slow marketing of, you know, it's like when you irrigate a field, the slower you drip the water in, the deeper it goes into the field. And sometimes when we go too fast, it can seem like it's the illusion of productivity. But it actually isn't when people go through niching too fast, which is why we're doing like a little circle and niche projects as opposed to niching your whole business. When people prematurely do that, it often ends in disasters. We talked about with Lisa Cherney, we did that interview, and she was mentioning the challenge with premature niching. It can really cause problems down the road because you invest so much and then it just doesn't feel authentic. So slowing down is important in our marketing. And I'm just going to post this. I'm going to make a note to send this to you at the end of the call. But the challenge of slow marketing, as wonderful as it is, because slow marketing is a lot about building relationships, letting people get to know you in a safe way. You know, you build your container, your website, people can really check you out. Slow marketing is what I've been doing for the last bunch of years. And there's a real beauty to that. The challenge is sometimes you're broke and you need money. And poor Americans living in a country without healthcare, the money becomes even more important. And it's sometimes we're in a crisis and the option of slow marketing isn't really there. So we want to look at fast marketing. And fast marketing is different. If you think of slow marketing as kind of the broad approach where we build our container, we build a website, we work on our bio, we work on a lot of that background material that will make us very safe to approach. We do all that. Fast marketing doesn't require any of that. And I'm going to send you an interview I did with George Wong, who created a six-figure income in 72 days without doing kind of any of the slow marketing stuff. So when we look at fast marketing, the kind of key word here is focus. which is what we're sort of perfectly on track for around the little circles. You pick a particular group of people with a particular problem and you offer them something. And I'll tell you the short version, but I've written it up in a blog post. The short version of what George did was, instead of spending years, you know, building a website, doing social media, building a platform and its presence and all of that, he kind of had a clear sense of a small circle that he wanted to work with, working with entrepreneurs and around business success and stuff. And so he just did a presentation, an intro presentation, and he offered a half-hour consultation for people. And in that free consultation, if it felt like a fit, and it did for most of them because the workshop was pretty well focused, he offered them a $1,500 a month coaching package with a year-long contract. And I think 7 or 8 or 9 people said yes to that, which equals a six-figure income. So that sounds pretty basic and pretty simple, but notice it was very focused. There weren't a lot of steps to it. In marketing, there's this notion of the sales funnel, which is really important. The sales funnel is this idea, you know, if you go to an ice cream store, you can get the pink spoon, a little sample size, you can get an ice cream cone, you can get a bucket, and you can get a cake, and you can become a part of an ice cream club. There are all these different levels, and the funnel is broader at the top and narrower at the bottom because there's more people, obviously, will try the free things. If you go to a yoga studio, you've got your free drop-in class, or you're just kind of free pass that somebody gives you. You've got a drop-in class. You've got the 10 pass or the month pass. You've got weekend retreats, and then you have a teacher training. All those different levels. And with slow marketing, you can really build that funnel out, and it can have so many different levels and different tangents to it, so that people can really take their time and go, you know, you could have 10 levels in that sales funnel with different products and services and group programs. But with fast marketing, we want a very small sales funnel. And I'm talking 2 or 3 levels, like intro, workshop, free call, coaching program. Yeah. You want it very small and very focused on a particular group. If you're wanting to make income quickly, that's what you need to do. Doing all the slow marketing approach and building the container and the platform and going for clarity and all that, that will over time, that's a much more solid foundation, obviously, to build from. And then if you add a fast marketing approach to the slow marketing base, that's the most solid. But I just get how sometimes you just need money. And when you need money, you've got to focus and you've got to hustle. But focusing and hustling without any clarity, or like trying to hustle without a focus, is really hard, because then it's like the person being like, come to my Theta Healing workshop, and they're trying to hustle that, and maybe they'll fill it. But if it makes sense, when there's no little circle, there's no journey, there's no relevance, it's much harder to do. So with the little circles we have, it makes everything so much easier. So I want to talk about niche projects as an idea, because I've seen so much in marketing around the whole kind of, you know, build your empire, everything, and besides having issues with the metaphor of empire in general. I think that, I mean, that's also in some ways the slow approach, is you're building this whole kind of community or this whole scene around your business. And so projects are small things that we can try out and test. And depending on how clear and how passionate you are about the small circle, the little circle you have, and depending on how much time, how much money you have, how much space you have in your life, will depend on the size of the project. It can be something from something very small to something really big. And I'm going to invite you to, we're going to be giving a ton of examples of different types of niche projects. And I really want you to check in with yourself and be taking notes during this call. You'll get a transcript of this, which will have it all. But take notes and notice which ones resonate with you as potential niche projects you're going to do. Because the homework from this call is going to be, once you've got that a little circle that works, to pair it with a particular project that you could do where you could experiment. And there are different goals for a niche project. It might be to make money. It also might just be to get exposure or to try something, depending, again, where you're at. So, yeah, just 1 sec. Yeah. Okay. So niche projects. So this is one of the most liberating and practical ideas I've ever had on how to deal with choosing a niche. It's inspired directly from my colleague Alex Baisley of www.bigdreamprogram.com. And there's so much to talk about in the marketing world about building these huge things. And I think that can feel intimidating for people. Again, it can be like being asked to marry somebody before you've even dated. So the niche project is sort of a way that you can date your niche and explore things. But what does that look like in business? So in essence, it's about creating these niche projects before you consider even creating a niche business. Ultimately, a niche business is powerful. If you have a whole business that's really focused around one small circle, everything gets so much easier in your business, and it's so much more profitable ultimately. But here's some logic behind the niche projects. A niche project will take less work than niching a whole business, but it can open doors to a niche business. Niche projects can give you a real-world experience with the niches you're considering. It's easy to theorize that a niche would be great, but you can't actually know until you've interacted with them directly. Number three, niche projects can allow you to explore new landscapes without having to move there. You can work with a niche group without having to become trapped in a reputation of only working with that group, which is obviously, when we're looking at a niche for a whole business, that is one of the criteria. Are you willing to be known as the person that works with that niche? Are you willing to be known as the person who delivers that particular result to that particular group of people? Number four, doing a niche project might just open some doors for you into new ventures and connections you would never have imagined. My dear friend Alex Baisley, who I mentioned, he's got this provocative notion that our big dreams, the things that we always want to do, they're not luxuries, they're doorways. That just by sometimes even taking 5 minutes to explore something on the internet could change your life. It did for me. I remember I got really interested in learning Scottish Gaelic, and I just went online to Google to see if I could find some tapes on like how to learn Gaelic. But in searching online for the tapes, I came across St. Effects University in Nova Scotia, where they had a Celtic studies program. And I was somebody who'd never gone to university my whole life and kind of poo-pooed it. I was literally jumping around my apartment. I was so excited about the thought of going and doing Celtic studies. I let it rest for 3 years. I was still excited. I went. Then that took me to the Isle of Skye in Scotland, where I went to a Gaelic college there. And that got me connected with the Gaelic community in Cape Breton, which had me co-star in a Gaelic movie called The Fiddler's Reel a couple of summers ago from 5 minutes of searching on the internet. So these niche projects, they can seem small, but don't be fooled. A very small thing can open up big doorways. And number five, your niche project might just turn into your main thing. Again, I think I shared the example in the intro call when I started the Youth Jams project in 1999. And it was a one-time side project with this group I was working with. And now that project has basically become the core work of the organization. So your little project might turn into your whole thing. You never know. So this idea of a niche project is going to be a fit for you if, number one, you get that having a focus would be helpful rather than just trying to maybe do what you've done. And number two, if you've got some ideas for niches like these little circles, but you feel scared to commit, that's where these projects I think can be particularly useful. And there's some criteria of a good niche project that I want to toss out. So number one, the niche has got to meet the criteria of a good target market. It's got to be a really clear little circle. And that 11-point checklist of criteria, you want to be able to give a pretty solid yes to most of it and a soft yes to all of it. Number two, you should feel really excited about the project. The thought of doing it should have you really jazzed, not a sense of, well, it's a test, I guess I'll do it. If you don't feel pumped about it, if you're not like having dreams, or not dreams, but you know, thinking about it before you fall asleep, maybe having dreams about it, if you're not really excited about it, it's probably not that great. Number three, it's either a very small thing that's ongoing that doesn't take much effort. So maybe it's like, I'm just going to tweet once a day about it. That could be a project. That could be fine. So it could be a very small commitment over time, or usually it's got a start date and an end date. It's finite. It doesn't last forever. Yeah. Number four, it's something that if it works out could be repeated on a regular basis, monthly, quarterly, once a year. So when you think about whatever project you want to do, you want to think about not something you could only ever do once, but something that you could probably do again and again and again. And as you're designing it, you might want to have that in mind and be thinking about the way you design it to make it easier to do the next time if you want to. Number five, it's got to benefit you in some way in addition to just being a chance to learn. That could be either building your list, could be making money, could be getting you clients. And I would really think through the benefit of it strategically. What are you trying to get out of this niche project? Because if you're not clear, it's going to be a lot harder to get. I know a guy who spoke at a conference. Speaking at a conference could be a niche project. There might be a particular conference you're like, I want to do a talk at that conference about this small circle. That would be a cool project to wrap my head around. Awesome. I know a guy who did that, and he spoke at a conference. He was rated the highest. It was like the highest rated thing out of the whole conference, even better than the big plenary sessions and keynote speakers. It was super interactive. It was super engaging, and he got no clients. And when I talked to him, and I said, well, what did you offer them at the end of your talk? And it just silence, nothing, because he hadn't offered them anything. I said, well, you can still email them later, but he hadn't even gotten their emails or contact info. And so he didn't really strategically think through what did he want from that talk? How could that benefit him? So it must benefit you in some way in addition to being a chance to learn. And number six, finally, it's got to benefit your niche in some way, whether that's by inspiring them, educating them, or connecting them with each other. Whatever the project is, obviously it's got to be of use to them. So that's kind of my rationale behind niche projects. I hope that is useful and kind of makes sense. So I've got a list of 28 categories, different types of niche projects that I want to share with you. And each of them has a bunch of examples underneath it. But here's what I'd like to do instead of just jumping into that, because we've got a bunch of little circles here, and I think there's some ways that we can help each other. And so I'm going to, in the group, I'm going to post something. I'm going to post the name of one of the people, and I'm going to post the sort of summary of their little circle, which I hope they won't be appalled by. but I'm going to post that. And I want you to go to the group, and I want you to, underneath that comment, I want you to post your ideas of what are all the different types of cool projects, interesting ideas that person might be able to take in working with, their niche. So if I were to post and say, well, I really want to work with permaculture people and help them with their marketing, maybe, and get creative, get out of the box with these ideas. You might say, it'd be cool. You could host a potluck where you also, it's like a local food potluck and you teach marketing at the same time. Or you could do, coaching people while they're gardening. You could do a project where you take the major permaculture principles and you show how marketing relates to those. That could be a project, and you could do a talk about that. And you could do a telesummit. You could do just a webinar series like you're doing here, a six-week thing, but for permaculture people. So you'd just get creative and think about what are all the different ways that you could be helping them that would be, useful for that group. So I hope that makes sense. So let's try the first one. So Colleen Lowe, I'm going to post it here. Her target market, if I had to sum it up, are women struggling to get over a breakup that just had a marriage or a long-term relationship, and they ended it, ended somehow, and they are just devastated. And they even get social anxiety. They want to go out and be social, so start their life again, but they just end up staying at home. And then they feel terrible about themselves for staying at home. And they're at that point where they need to do something to get a life. And they're in that place where they're really open to using that maybe as a springboard into creating an even more amazing life than before. So That's the group. So I want you to go to the Facebook group and start putting your comments under. So let's take 3 or 4 minutes, and I just want you to put your comments of what types of projects, what kinds of things could she do to help that group? And go. You guys are amazing. These are awesome ideas. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Feel free to post more than one idea, too. Just riff. Riff for a little bit. You're doing great, everybody. Let's take 2 more minutes. Read through other people's and see if they inspire ideas for you. Feel free to build on other people's ideas. This is a brainstorm, so no critiquing anyone's ideas. Let's just keep the flow of ideas going. One more minute, keep it going. One more. Okay, you are all so awesome. So many ideas. Okay, So next up, we've got Donald Mitchell. And Donald Mitchell, God bless his cotton socks, works with energy healers who did distance healing, who are struggling to market online. So these are people, they do this kind of remote distance healing, and they don't get the online thing. They don't want to know all about it. The thought of like learning the target marketing, telling their story, website, web hosting, pay-per-click, SEO, newsletter, landing pages, autoresponders, marketing automation, order processing, etc., just makes them want to tear their hair up. And so helping them figure out how to market online and working with them to support them on that. So what are projects that Donald might be able to do? I'm going to post it now. That might engage and let them experiment with this. You've got about 4 minutes. Go. And feel free to ask any clarifying questions, and Donald can pipe in if he's here. Two more minutes, keep them coming. Read back through what everyone else has posted, see what you might add. Two more minutes. Doing great. You're doing great. One more minute. One more minute. See what other ideas you can come up with. What might be a small thing that Donald could do that would help connect with that group, help build his reputation, etc.? Ten seconds. Get the last ideas in. 10 seconds. You can do it. All right. Amazing. You people are the best. Okay, so now, next one. Heidi Wilson. So Heidi Wilson works with people who are suffering from migraines, chronic migraines, where they just kind of feel at the mercy of it. And it keeps them from participating and enjoying family or social functions at work or at school. They want to move forward in their life, but it's this unpredictable thing that is keeps showing up and isn't this obstacle. And they get angry and frustrated and confused. They don't know why it's happening to them. They're afraid of other people looking at them as slackers because they just don't understand the conditions. So they feel kind of lonely and isolated. And they just desperately want to feel normal, to have sort of a, you know, to have that not be an issue. And so she helps them get relief from that by you know, helping them understand what it's about and getting a relief and moving past it. So I'm going to post it now. Shabam. So you have 4 minutes again to brainstorm. What are things particular to migraine sufferers? What are types of projects that Heidi might be able to do that'd be small that would let her connect with this group, see if it's a fit, possibly make some money, etc.? You've got 4 minutes. Go crazy. Two more minutes. Keep them coming. Again, read back through what other people have written. See if that sparks ideas. Build on other people's ideas. Migraine sufferers. People, they've got these migraines that are crippling them. What could be a cool, fun, interesting, engaging, different project? Think outside of the box. There's some typical stuff, but maybe there's something fun that could happen. One more minute, one last minute. Got the last ideas in. 15 seconds. And we're going to do just one more after this. Okay, time's up. Get your last ideas down. Get your last ideas in. And next, we're going to move to the amazing Bob Ogilvie. And Bob's situation is that, so here's his little circle. So you know how some college grads and young professionals struggle to find work in their chosen field because they don't have any experience. Then they feel frustrated or depressed because they wind up unemployed or underemployed. Sort of the how can I get experience if I don't have any experience yet kind of thing. So what he says is, well, I help them combine their skills and training with something they're passionate about so they can make a living without a job to develop a successful career doing something that they love. So unemployed college grads and young professionals are struggling to get a thing, and Bob helps them figure out some new thing to weave all those skills together. So I'm going to post it now. 4 minutes. What are some examples of fun projects that he might do? And you got 4 minutes. Begin. These are so good, everybody. 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Okay, a little less than a minute. You guys are so awesome. Awesome. Okay. So get your last thoughts down, last thoughts in. Really wonderful work. And so now I want to take 2 or 3 minutes, and I want you to reflect on what did you learn from doing that? You had a bunch of really clear, in my mind anyways, pretty clear little circles, and we just did a brainstorm. So what was it that came up? So I'm going to post this so you can put any lessons under this new post I just put up. What did you learn from brainstorming? Oh, actually, before you post anything, Russell Scott needs to join the group, and so I'm going to give him a minute. I hope he's here. So hold the phones. Don't type anything. I'm going to edit the group, and I'm going to open the group. Okay, so Russell, if you are here, you have 30 seconds to join the group. So you go to that page, the link I sent you, and you just request to join in. I don't know how you weren't in the group before. Amazing. It's got about 30 seconds, and if not, we're going to have to wait till the end of the call to do it, because we're doing so much posting that, as Ryan said, not only would this break your Facebook, it'll break all your friends' Facebook. Aha! There you are, Russell! You are in! Shabam! Okay, one sec. Now I'm going to close the group. We are the top secret hidden cabal of marketing nerds once again. Excellent. Okay, so back to the question. So what did you learn? So let's just take a couple minutes. I want you to reflect on what did you notice from that, from doing that brainstorming thing? Let's take just 2 minutes. All right, about 30 seconds. All right. Thank you, everybody. So just to review some of the lessons, notice how much easier it is when we have a really specific little circle, how much easier that is to come up with ideas when it's specific. Imagine if they'd said, oh, well, you know, I really help people get results. And I, people with problems, right? I help people with problems get different results in their life. Or even if they said, I help people who are unhealthy get healthy, how much easier it is when it's a really particular group of people with a really particular struggle. So that's one thing. Second, how much easier it is to do this for others than yourself. A few of you mentioned that. And I mentioned that during the intro call. which is why we have this Facebook group that we can all be supporting each other. And that's why I so encourage you to be talking to other people and getting other opinions, talking to people in your own target markets to get ideas. It's so much easier to see in other people's situations. If you feel stuck, it's not because you're stupid or crazy, genuinely. It's just that we have limited points of view, and when we can get more points of view, it seems to work better out there. I really want to also invite you to look back over what everyone wrote for everyone else, because there may be some really great ideas for you, things that you could just twist or modify a little bit differently. And so, yeah, and asking for feedback is a powerful thing. It's amazing what happens when we just ask. So thank you, everyone. You were all so wonderfully generous with each other. And Kathy's saying as a lesson, it pays to get the homework done on time and give to others. For sure. For sure. Yes, let that be a lesson to all of you. And someone else was saying, I hope we can do this with everyone. We really won't have time, even with 4 minutes of 50 people. We won't necessarily be able to do that. However, there's no reason you can't post it and ask for things in between the calls. In fact, I encourage you to do that with this group, and this group will be up for forever, so you can still do that. But I did that mainly just as an example and as a reward for those people who got their homework done. And so thank you everyone for participating in that. So now I want to share my list of what I have, and some of these, what I'm about to share, will overlap with some of the brilliant things you came up with as well. Let me just pull this up. So in my mind, there are 28 categories of niche projects. How do I want to start this? Part of the benefit of niche projects is that when we have that real particular niche, at least for that project, it's a little bit easier to become an expert in it. Yeah, it's a little bit easier to just focus your thoughts on how you can help the people get a particular result, whereas solving everything in their life is obviously a much bigger situation. And so there's one of my clients, she does shiatsu massage. She's a medical intuitive. But I noticed that when she spoke about stomach and spleen, the stomach-spleen connection, at one point in the workshop, she just lit up for some reason. And she talked about the Chinese medical perspective on leaky gut syndrome. And I suggested that she might consider becoming a specialist in that and make her target market other practitioners, so she could actually be teaching other practitioners about what she knows about this issue, which was actually quite a lot, instead of just treating clients. So she, I offered the idea, and she was like, I don't know if I want to, my whole business. I was like, well, what about just doing a workshop around leaky gut syndrome? You could talk about all the different kinds of supplements one could use to address the issue, like tea tree oil or yogurt, acidophilus, colloidal gold, marshmallow root, et cetera. But also some of the other approaches that there might be. And when I suggested that, she was just like, oh, that's so great. That'd be easy, So, on to my list. So here are some ideas for niche projects. Number one, this is the most basic one, is host a workshop or talk on the topic. This is sort of the most common one. We see it around a lot. I know of a hypnotherapist in Edmonton who targeted business folks around sales issues, and did this workshop, but really picked 10 of the kind of most connected business people in town, invited them to this workshop, and offered them all, I think, a free 90-minute hypnosis therapy session around sales and stuff, and just to sort of show them what he could do around hypnosis. And I'm not actually sure if the therapy sessions were on sales, but was showing them, here's the impact they can have. And that little move, that little project, filled his practice, because he really focused on that group, connected with the most influential people, the biggest talkers, the biggest, most connected, most respected people, and they had a huge, huge role in him filling his practice. I was just talking with a friend of mine in Edmonton, Candace, and she and her friend, Harmony are thinking about starting a store, like a they're thinking about a retail space around birth, you know, so you could have workshops, you could buy baby products and with a natural, holistic bent to it. And they said, well, what do you think? And they're both new moms themselves. And I said, well, you're new moms. You might have kids again soon. And they nodded. And it's like, that's a lot to take on. In general, retail, you know, it's like that kind of overhead, it's incredibly stressful. So I said, my take would be instead of trying to start a whole storefront, which is going to take 10 times the effort, 10 times the money, it's going to be so much more than you think it's going to be right now. Why not just start with some niche projects? And one of the niche projects we came up with, and as soon as I said it, their eyes lit up, was the idea of doing a workshop around the 12 toughest decisions that every natural mother has to make. The 12 toughest decisions that every natural mother has to make. And doing a workshop where it's like, hey, do you homeschool or do you take them to school? Do you vaccinate or not? Do you breastfeed for how long, et cetera? What do you feed your kids? All these questions. It doesn't have to be a workshop, even, and this is an important thing for a niche project. It doesn't have to be a workshop where you're like, here's the answer. But where it could just be, here are the questions, and here are the different factors, and you can make your own choice. And I have my own opinion, but you've got to make your own. That could be a really cool project. I was studying nonviolent communication for a while, and I just started doing a bunch of workshops for free in my living room. And that was a way that I could learn, get better at it, but also start to build an email list of people who I knew would be interested in nonviolent communication. So if I got to a point where I felt strong enough to lead a workshop I could charge for, I would have that list. So sort of more of an investment in the future. And I just did them in my living room for free. That's a project. When we're thinking about topics of workshops, here are some potential titles. And in fact, let's actually do a little bit of a brainstorm on the Facebook wall, because I bet you've been to so many workshops and you've seen some titles and some that are probably great and some that are not that great, but kind of template things. Because this workshop titles things is going to be useful for the rest of the project, because some of them are, you know, teleseminars or different things. So here are some, so what are the best templates you can think of? That's the question, and I'll put mine below this. So here are a few. The five biggest threats facing blank industry. The five biggest blunders that blanks make when doing blank. So the five biggest blunders salespeople make when making cold calls. How to blank. So how to, and whatever the result is. How to, you know, play the piano. How to court women. How to... give a solid high five, I don't know. Then blank for blank. So modality for this issue. So yoga for depressed people, yoga for addicts, as an example. The three hidden causes of blank, insert the symptom, the three hidden causes of migraines, or just results. So for example, sold out seminars or how to fill your workshops with ease are two real examples I've seen where it's just the workshop name is actually the result. So let's just take a couple of minutes and brainstorm what are some fill-in-the-blank kind of names for workshops, like the type of generic things that we could all use. Let's go take a couple of minutes and insert them there. All right, 30 seconds. Remember, we're thinking not just for our business, we're thinking like fill in the blanks, things anyone could use. So if you can insert some blanks in there, that's great. All right, just 15 seconds. Get any last thoughts down? Awesome. So let me read through some of these. So sort of identifying your obstacles. So you could have a headline that's something like, figure out what's stopping you from blank. Three steps to achieving blank. The joy of blanking. Uncover your blank in five easy steps, whatever the result is that they want. So maybe uncover your hidden sexiness, I don't know, in five easy steps, or uncover your confidence in five easy steps. The three biggest mistakes the holistic practitioners make that keep their wallet empty. Great. So the three biggest mistakes that blank make that keeps their wallets empty. five ways to share your home and still have privacy. Yeah, you can blank. Yeah, you can do whatever this is that they want to do. Why you don't exercise and what you can do about it. Five tools to help you blank. Awesome. How to cure blank in blank minutes a day. Five tips that can help you blank. For example, overcome burnout. Do you want to be a professional artist? Or so do you want to be a blank and insert the profession or thing that they might want to be? Fail safe ways to blank. So do you want to blank? Five ways to discover your blank. Okay, we can pause there. Awesome. Those are great. So, and of course, very importantly, let me say the name of the workshop is not enough to fill the workshop. There are other strategies that need to be employed. You can't just have a great title for a workshop and have it fill up. There's a lot of other things. We'll talk about those more in the next call. But having a really catchy, kind of clear focus for your workshop that speaks to people's journey, very important. So awesome. So that's the first thing. Hosting a workshop or a talk on a particular topic can be a great project. Number two, you can host a party, potluck, or a gathering for people and or hubs in your niche. For example, a yoga studio I know hosted a mixer for the whole yoga scene in Edmonton. It was a summer picnic for anyone interested in yoga or yoga teachers, yoga studio owners. So great. such an amazing gathering, which helps them connect to other hubs in their scene who can be helping them. They could find new teachers. It just builds their reputation on the scene. Very useful overall. And now if they've done it with additionally people outside of the yoga scene, that might have been a kind of different thing that would help in a different way. Another yoga studio I know hosts a goddesses night out where they have a 2-hour event for women and then the men are allowed in afterwards. Super fun party. Whenever I do a workshop, I often host a party on the Saturday night for the participants, and not just the participants, but my favorite clients, local hubs. It's super fun. There's a whole info product I'm probably going to create around how parties can be marketing. But you can host a party, and that can help you reconnect with people or just connect with new people who might never normally go to your workshop. I can tell you, frankly, most of the hubs that would be really beneficial to you are not going to go to your workshop. They're not going to work with you one-on-one necessarily, but they might come to a party, and at a party they can meet you, build a relationship with you, and that can be enough to spark a conversation about them endorsing you. So number three, hosting a tour of things relevant to your niche. So I think I mentioned this example to some of you during the intro calls. There's this woman in Guelph, Ontario, who's very passionate about straw bale homes. And she didn't know anything about building it, which is a hopeful thing when we're talking about niche projects. But she went to all the people who own the homes, and she said, can I host a tour and bring people to your homes just so they can be so inspired to see what's possible? And she just organized this tour, and people would come, and they were so excited to go on the tour. She'd do it once a month or so. Again, it's a project. It's kind of like Alex Baisley talks about as income projects. It's a small thing, makes a little bit of money, and it's not enough to totally free you from your 9-to-5 or whatever, but it can buy you a bit of breathing space, bring in a bit of money, breathing space that you can then put even more focus into the business and transition over. You could do a tour of wineries, yoga studios. You could do a tour of relevant resources for new parents in town, a green home tour where you actually visit green homes and go inside them and they get to really get a feel of what it's like. A tour of places you normally can't get into, of little known places. Photography tours for photographers are a thing that happen. You could tour organic grocery stores where you explain products for people wanting to get healthier with particular conditions. So like a gluten-free tour. You know, you rent a van, you drive people around town, like, here's how you live gluten-free in style. Awesome in this town. Yeah. So you could do a tour. That could be a project. Number four, hosting celebrities. So if there's somebody who's big in your scene that you're passionate about. So when you think about the little circle, there might be somebody, maybe not, but in that scene who's kind of big and everybody knows about. Well, if they're coming to your area, why not host them? You could host a talk or even a movie screening or a reading of a book or whatever. You don't need any expertise for this. In one move, you'll be connected to the core folks and hubs in that scene. If you host one of the leading people, I know a woman in Calgary who built her like whole career, her whole reputation by partnering and doing partnering talks where she would host these big name speakers and she would kind of open for them. But then she's in front of her target market, building her expertise and her reputation. Really smart. Number five, you could host a meetup networking group for your niche. So maybe your niche, if it's local, might enjoy having a local sort of monthly get-together that's a social thing. If nobody's, you know, hosting it, it could be great. Might have heard of Green Drinks. It started in England where they noticed that, like, the green scene, the eco, you know, scene was kind of fragmented. You had the nonprofits, you had the activists, you had the green business people, but they wouldn't talk to each other and they never hung out. And so the initial thought was like, well, let's do a conference that brings them all together and figure out how to do this tri-sector, whatever. Boring. They said, why don't we just get together for beers once a month? So simple. And now it's in over 600 cities globally. A small niche project grows into this global movement. So Green Drinks, as an example, last year we, just in January, we started hosting an event in Edmonton at a local raw food place called Indigo Drinks, about bringing together Edmonton's holistic scene. We had like 100 people out at the first one. It can be work to keep people coming and to keep it fresh, and now I've passed it on to somebody else who's very excited about being a hub in the holistic scene. In Toronto, there's an event called Foodie Drinks for foodies, people into local food, slow food movement, supporting farmers, animal welfare, etc., can come together and meet each other. So people who are passionate about that issue. Helen Goldstein in Toronto hosts a party called Buddha Groove. That's a really cool, classy, and funky mixer of folks in the holistic scene. It's not as regular as like an Indigo Drinks thing, but it's like once a quarter, maybe twice a year type of thing. Prana Yoga in Edmonton does Bhakti Boogie, and every time they do their events, they get like 100 to 150 people out to their parties. They have a DJ, they have like yoga class before, maybe I can't remember if they do like a satsang kind of thing. Super awesome. Number six, out of 28, you are going to get your money's worth. I may go over time, but don't worry, it's all in the recording. You could support an existing meetup group for your niche. So maybe your target market is folks kind of working in the green scene. Well, you might consider is somebody local hosting a Green Drinks event and see if you can support it. Easy. You don't even need to make anything up, but that could be a project where you just approach somebody like, hey, you host this regular mixer for folks who are in my niche. I have this vested interest in connecting with them, I have a vested interest in this whole scene being very strong and well-connected. And can I support? What can I do? In one move, you, and they might even eventually, you'd be shocked. I mean, people are like, do you want to just take this over? I'm tired of doing it. They might just want you to take it over, and then suddenly you've got a group. Amazing. Number seven, host co-productions. So could you get together with businesses that offer complementary products and services and create a special co-produced event? So, for example, I was in Nova Scotia doing a workshop, and there was a woman who ran a cloth diaper company. And she was like, I can't do a workshop on cloth diapers because you're either into cloth diapers or you're not. So it's, you know, I said, no, that's true. Probably people who are not into cloth diapers are not going to go to a workshop on the joys of cloth diapering. I said, but they'll probably go to an event on natural parenting with lots of experts in other areas like how to make baby food at home, how to deal with a colicky baby, breastfeeding, infant massage, parenting coaches, etc., where you get a bunch of people all on that topic. Everybody wins, and you get to insert your cloth diapers, you know, on the unsuspecting masses. But probably winning a lot of them over, because you know as well as I do that, you know, some of what you do is kind of woo-woo or kind of out there. But if you had a chance to sit down with somebody and talk to them or present for like half an hour and they had to listen to you, a lot of them would be convinced. Or they would take at least, they'd be more open-minded. They'd move one step closer. So you could do a co-production like that, where you get other people. You could try a Pecha Kucha style event. Pecha Kucha spelled P-E-C-H-A-K-U-C-H-A. And most cities actually have this. And the format is they have 10 speakers doing presentations around a core theme, sort of loosely around a theme. They get 20 slides, 20 seconds per slide. Each presentation is about 6.5 minutes of just goodness and brilliance. And so you could, first of all, you could present one of those in your city, which I'd recommend, or one of the TEDx events, of course. But you could also host your own, that type of style. I wouldn't call it Pecha Kucha, you know, obviously, but you could host an event on that topic. So let's say it was migraines. You could have 10 speakers doing 10, they've got 6 minutes to give their best thoughts around migraines and their particular take on it. You could have an energy healer, a psychologist, you could have a doctor, et cetera. Super fun. Again, everybody wins. Another example is a moon dance painting. And this is an excerpt from a book called Marketing That Matters, which I so recommend. Marketing That Matters by Chip Connelly. And he said, he's talking about Moondance painting. He says, it was the first non-toxic, low-odor painting contractor in the Bay Area. When they founded it, they knew that lots of customers would prefer an environmentally sensitive painting contractor. Yet few of those customers would actively search for a company like theirs because they simply didn't even know it existed. They knew that their company's success was predicated on making sure that the eco-friendly customer knew that Moondance existed, but their marketing budget was small. So here's what they did. They got in touch with the local Whole Foods Market community relations representative and suggested that the store could sponsor a green home series in which a green designer, builder, landscaper, and painter would come in and make presentations on how people can green their homes. The end result, they were able to connect with their perfect niche of customers, all without spending more than $100 on marketing. And of course, each speaker in the series endorsed the others during their talks. So simple, so easy. Host a co-production. Number eight, hosting retreats. Consider hosting an overnight or a weekend type gathering for your niche. The retreat could be about something you specialize in, but also could just be something you're fascinated by and you want to convene people to discuss and explore together. People will pay money for that too. You don't have to be the expert giving the answers all the time. Sometimes just a space to explore and build community around an interest people share is what people want. So some examples, Erica Ross, one of my dearest friends and colleagues in Toronto, she hosted her Bloom Retreat for self-employed Toronto goddesses. And she'd done dance and movement stuff, but she wanted to focus on entrepreneurs, and it was a little niche project. And she got some Toronto entrepreneurial goddesses and did this retreat where she focused on their business using her movement stuff. Another colleague of mine, Alec Goldberg, hosted the Meaningful Work Retreat to explore the question, what is meaningful work? How can we create it and sustain ourselves with it? And you can check it out actually at meaningfulworkproject.ca. Meaningfulworkproject.ca. Again, she's not doing it to be like, hey, I'm the expert. She's doing it to say, let's talk about what does this mean? And she brought in experts, people like me and other folks. Simple. Number nine, you can put on a show or a presentation. Why get stuck with the same old boring stuff? Could you put on a play, a comedy show, an art show on the theme you're passionate about? Couldn't that just as easily connect you with your crowd in a fun way? You know, Number 10, take your show on the road. Could you do a bike tour? Like there's otesha.ca, O-T-E-S-H-A.ca, a youth tour. You could do a cross-country motorcycle tour. Could you make a project of a road trip? Could you tour your workshop to different cities? One of my friends who you're actually going to be hearing from, I think on Monday, I'm doing the interview with her, Rebecca Tracy. She just moved into a van and she travels around and had built her business mostly from the road. Alex Baisley, who you're going to hear about from on Friday. Oh, he's so great. You're going to love him. He's going to share a bunch more stories of niche projects. He packed his kids in a van and just drove across the country doing a workshop. His kids loved it. His wife was thrilled. 6 weeks with no kids, no laundry. Amazing. She was ecstatic. Took it on the road. Why not do that? Number 11, host something in your living room. What if you hosted a craft group, a circle for moms, a house concert to raise money for a cause that's related to what you're about in your little circle? Something small in your living room. It doesn't have to always be big. I think sometimes it can be easy to look at what some of the marketing and business gurus are saying and assume that we have to pack the room with 2,000 people. This is the niche project. Start small. Start easy. That's how sometimes some of the best things start. Number 12, host a sampler event. So Dee Dussault in Toronto hosts something called the New Moon Soirees. And it's a monthly event where you can come and for $20 at the door, you can sample as many different holistic modalities as you want for $10 a pop. So it's $20 at the door, and maybe somebody's doing Reiki. Maybe somebody's doing hot stone massage. Maybe somebody's just doing regular old massage. Maybe somebody's doing, kung fu fighting. I don't know. But you pay $10 for the experience. And it's like a 15-minute kind of experience. So, and each evening features 6 or 7 practitioners all offering this variety of things. And about once a quarter, she does a bigger one with even more practitioners. So a cool thing, a little sampler event. She makes a bit of money from it. She also builds her relationship with these practitioners, builds her identity as a hub in Toronto, and she's now moved to Vancouver. So you could host a sampler event. Number 13, you could host a live class. Maybe you could make a bit of money teaching people how you do what you do. Could be a one-night class over 6 weeks. Could be monthly, but a live in-person class. Number 14, provocatively, host an ongoing paid small group. What if you just worked with the same people over an extended or ongoing period of time or potentially forever? You know, there are some things where it's like people just get in that. They pay once a month and they come and it's just that ongoing every month. They do that group. So there could be an end to it. It could just be an ongoing thing, but where it's a small paid thing over time with the same group where you get to go deeper and deeper and deeper, like a men's group, but you know, or a small business circles, that kind of thing. Number 15, host a walk shop, W-A-L-K, walk shop. So you can cover the same content as in a workshop, but you're walking and talking at the same time. You could take people on a walk, on a hike, and, you know, pause every once in a while and share some ideas and tie that into your surroundings in some ways, or just walk to a park, etc. Number 16, give out an award. You know, it's interesting. So many businesses are kind of hoping they might get some kind of award for their business. But what if you actually decided to be the one giving the award? What if you decided to acknowledge people in your niche who you admired with an award? Who doesn't like getting an award of some kind? Maybe you could bring a little panel of people together and select folks and give it some legitimacy. Or you could just do an informal award where it's like, you know, I'm going to give out the awesome person award on my blog, you know, every month. I'm going to pick somebody to feature in some way. Or you can give an award that actually has some money or a little trophy statue with it. You know, of course, the more formal, the bigger the prize, the more exciting. But you could start small. Number 17, could you host a ceremony or a ritual to honor this important transition that your client's going through? So again, ceremony or ritual doesn't even necessarily have to mean you solve their problem. It's just really honoring that you're going through this transition and people feeling seen and acknowledged for that transition that they're going through. Sometimes that is the medicine, that is the healing, them just feeling seen and having that honored so they don't have to fight for attention for it anymore. Number 18, could you host a competition? Competitions can be such fun, brilliant niche projects because instead of, again, spending your energy trying to get awards, you can be giving them away. And competitions have a beginning and an end are excellent for encouraging some fun behavior. So like, here are some examples. There was a woman who was teaching writing classes in Toronto, and she hosted, it was a very friendly competition, but it was a love letter competition where she invited people to submit love letters that they'd written either in the past or for the competition. And they were so beautiful. And she had a panel of writers to help her choose the top six. There was no big prize, but it was wonderful. I secretly participated in it and submitted a letter. And it felt so amazing just to be honored and acknowledged for that. And that kind of a contest can also just help bring attention to what you're doing. Because especially if it's not quite so anonymous as this love letter thing, people might be really excited for everyone to see their writing and this amazing thing. So if it was a not-so-secret kind of writing contest, could benefit even more. Another kind of competition, Linda Claire Puick hosted her best newsletter competition, where people applied to have their newsletter featured in it and be judged. And her business is about helping people improve their newsletters and helping them get ready-made content. So the content, check this out. All these people are submitting themselves and other people they know for who's the best newsletter. So she's getting all these examples of really kick-ass newsletters that can help her. Not only helping her grow her list because all these people submitting, but she's learning more about the topic. Another example, a Yegwood, a friend of mine was selling these wooden sunglasses. And Yeg is the sort of airport code for Edmonton, Y-E-G. So yegwood.com. And they had a party at a local cafe for these sustainable wood frame glasses. At the launch party, there was a photographer who took the picture of people holding or wearing the sunglasses. And then those photos are put on Facebook, on the Facebook page for, I think, Georgia Magazine. That was one of the sponsors. And the person who got the most votes on their photo, they had a particular application they were using, but you could just have the most likes on their photo, could win a pair of sunglasses with some kind of artwork etched on the side, a totally original pair of, like, salvaged wood sunglasses. Really amazing. And I'll tell you what. I hustled for those glasses, and Georgia Magazine got a lot more people liking their page, hundreds more people, just because of me being involved. Cool. Number 19, hosting a 30-day challenge. Man, I love this as a niche project. So whereas competitions kind of pit people playfully against each other, it's funny because the person, that, by the way, who was second place in that Yegwood competition, he wanted those sunglasses so bad, he was phoning his friends, telling them to go vote on Facebook. He was posting it constantly. But he doesn't have 5,000 friends on Facebook like I do. So I crushed him, and he's still bitter about it. Anyway, so whereas competition kind of playfully pits people against each other, a challenge joins people together in a common goal. So there are a few great examples of this. So a lot of yoga studios will host a 30-day yoga or meditation challenge where you commit to doing a practice for 30 days straight. I know a business consultant who actually felt like the most important thing for business was people really getting in touch with their own source, their own guidance on a daily basis and making space for that. So for 30 days, every morning she was hosting a call. And I think it was a 30-minute meditation, some of it in silence, some of her guiding it, but just inviting people to really clarify what felt like the most important thing for them to do in their business that day. Can you get the power that would have for people if every day they did that kind of meditation and checked in with a focus on their business? Brilliant. So amazing. And of course, because the yoga and meditation ones are in person, it develops a particularly strong kind of community, and they have a little celebration at the end. It's a little more difficult if it's virtual. Another one, bodyforlife.com. You may have seen these books. So it was a bodybuilding and weight loss challenge, where people took a before photo and after photo, and they had a 12 weeks of this intensive exercise health regimen. They were given checklists and schedules and all sorts of things to make it really easy for them. And the results are honestly staggering. People think the photos are photoshopped, and they're not. But 10 winners are chosen every year, and the winner gets like a free sweet car. I think it happened because Bill Phillips, who was running it, was just feeling frustrated. He was like, he wanted to see more people get in shape. He saw how many people were being so held back, by these physical challenges, and he wanted to see more fitness, and he had this really sweet red car that he was so proud of, and he just on a whim was like, you know what, I'm going to do a contest, and whoever wins it gets my car. And that car was so motivating for people, you know. So kind of a mainstream example, but really powerful. And so many people have done this competition now, and it's transformed so many people's lives. You know, genius. So those are some examples. Number 20. I'm definitely going to run over time, people, so hold on as long as you can. Number 20, having a limited number of in-person makeovers. So what if instead of doing a typical workshop, you offered a really limited number of people some very one-on-one intensive work for a special deal? You know, might some people be interested and excited, in fact, to spend a whole day with you having an intensive makeover in their fashion, their business, their health, relationships, their website, social media strategy, etc., where they get together with you live in person and or over the phone. Actually, I just literally got an email from a friend of mine who had talked to, and I'll just pass it on, this guy, andyobryan.com, andyobryan.com. He's a copywriter, marketing veteran, and she had a free half-hour consult where he looked over her website and gave her a lot of suggestions and appreciation for what she'd already done. Mm-hmm. Pretty brilliant, doing that kind of a makeover. And, of course, there's a way to tie that into actually getting more clients. But one of the benefits of these makeovers is you can, especially if you're starting, you can get a lot of experience too. So it's an example of a niche project. 21, some very limited in-field coaching. So related to the makeover idea of you being with them while they do something or, you know, helping them do a makeover is being with them while they do something new and giving them live in the moment feedback. So some dating coaches will do this where they'll actually give in-field feedback where they'll often with a man, they'll take a man out during the day and just be like, great. Is there anyone who you're attracted to? Do you want to approach? And they just will watch. And when they come back, they'll be like, okay, here's what I noticed. You were got really stiff when you went up, and you know, they'll help them with that. So it could be that, but also public speaking, you know, real life feedback. I've had people, and that's their thing, is they'll go and they'll watch people do public speaking, and then they give them feedback after. And that kind of feedback, because it's so tailor-made and precise, extremely powerful. It's not just generic speaking advice. It's like, okay, you say a lot, or you have this one gesture you do all the time, and it's driving people crazy, and you don't notice it. Live feedback. Or gardening, you know, I'll come watch you garden, or stage performance, whatever it is. Maybe there's something in your client's life where you could actually be there while they're doing something and give them feedback. That would be useful for them. Number 22, hosting a debate on an important topic. I really like this idea because so every community, every niche has issues that are contentious. There are questions that are at the core of the community and the struggle to balance different elements. So what if you were to host a fun or even very serious debate between two or three people to explore that issue? You know, you think you might be able to get a nice crowd out to listen, ask questions. Like, what if it was about vaccination for kids? Yes or no? You're going to have a really, you might have a big crowd come out. People wanting to hear both sides. Or nuclear power, you know, is, you know, an example. Is it good or not? But think about your little circle. And is there some sort of an issue that's debatable in that? And you know, use the provocative nature of the topic and the controversy to gather some attention, but also build your list and expose people to some new ideas. Number 23, host a webinar or a teleclass. So most of you are a part of this because you went to my free webinar that I did, yeah, that little teleclass thing. So what if you put together, it could be 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. And here's the key. I did it basically just for my list. Ryan Eliason, God bless him, also hosted one. And Howie Jacobson hosted one. I was too lazy and late to reach out to a lot of my significant hubs. But you could reach out to the people who are the biggest hubs in your scene. Say, would you host this webinar or teleclass for your people to introduce them to me? And this is where those topics, those workshop topics we came up with earlier are gold. You know, so I do this niching 101 for hippies, you know, and I might rename it if I do it again, like the six biggest blunders or something. But I get them to host it for their people. When Ryan Eliason hosted my niching for hippies free webinar for his people. There were 660 people who signed up. That means 660 new people joined my email list. I didn't make any money, but my email list grew, and a bunch of you are on the call who paid. So, ta-da! And I think, by the way, it was like 10 or 12 people from that list. So you get the sense of financially even what a little thing like that can do. Number 24, host a telegroup. So a telegroup is an ongoing group of people who you work with over time, anywhere from a few weeks to forever around a core set of issues. So it could be focused on you giving them content, and it can also be supported in them giving each other feedback, a bit like we're doing in these calls, sharing their best practices with each other. And of course, with a telegroup, because it's going to be ongoing, you really want to pick carefully who's going to be a part of that group. So if you check out spiraltable.com, that's spiraltable.com, you'll see my friends Rob and Miriam. They bring together leaders in the organic food and beverage industry to share their best practices, to make commitments to each other and share progress. They facilitate a 9-minute call every week. They send follow-up notes, do research on key issues for the group between calls. It's not cheap to be a part of it, but it's real gold for the people who are in it. Number 25, you could write a book, ebook, white paper, or special report. Just write something kind of substantial, and it can go a long way to establish your expertise. That's when you're an expert in a niche. You have expertise. Your expertise in a particular niche. So what if you were to identify this key pain point and struggle of this little circle, like a lot of you have already done, and write a paper on it? It can give you something free, relatively inexpensive that you can share with people. It's also an amazing chance to refine and to kind of structure your own thinking and point of view. Number 26, you could record interviews with leaders in your niche. You could record a series of interviews on a particular topic of interest to your niche. So think little circle, and it's pretty obvious what you'd interview them about. What if you were to identify, again, that key pain point and struggle in your community, but then interview the smartest people you could find on that topic, and you could even sell that as a product. You could give that away for free. You can do a lot of things with it. 27, you could host a day of hot seats. So instead of feeling like you need to be the expert, you might just host a day of hot seats where you bring together 5 or 6 carefully selected, very smart people in your niche and facilitate them in giving each other feedback. So I recently started doing a workshop. I've done it 5 times, called The Hot Box. And if you go to marketingforhippies.com/events/the-hot-box, the basic format that I used and that seemed to work really well was to have a maximum of 5 people, 5, you know, participants. You can have more people, but they just won't be hot seated. And they each get 5 minutes to express their issue. Say, here's what I'm struggling with that I want feedback on. Actually, even before that, at the beginning of the day, we would spend, they get 20 minutes each where they get with a partner and the partner would support them in really honing in and clarifying on what's the issue they want feedback on. Then they would have 5 minutes to express what that issue was. And then there would be 30 minutes for the group to ask clarifying questions or just reflect what they're hearing, but no advice allowed for 30 minutes, which is really hard for people. And then there's 10 or 15 minutes at the end where people could give feedback and advice. And as people were listening, they had a piece of paper. They divided into 4 with a circle in the middle. And in the circle in the middle, they wrote the core question or issue of the person. In one of the quadrants, I'll see if I can remember this. In one of the quadrants, they would write just appreciations of the person, things that they like, wow, you're really passionate, or you have a real calm energy, it's beautiful. In another quadrant, they would write ideas and actions, like here's what I would do if I were you, and resources. In another one, they wrote, here's how I can help you personally. Here's what to contact me about. And I think the other quadrant was just open for them to take notes, I believe. But really useful. And they all, of course, got those pages at the end of the day. Number 28, last one. You can create online cartoons, zines, comic strips, etc. You know, a lot of you have seen my Marketing Bears cartoon. And if you go to a website called extranormal.com, it's there's no E at the beginning, just X. TRANormal.com, extranormal.com. You can create like cartoons. And I don't know, I've been in the comedy for a while, so that came pretty naturally for me. But I just created these 2 bears talking to each other. If you go to the niche videos on my website, you'll see some of the first videos. two little cartoon bears talking about marketing. So you can do that. You can do cartoon if you're an artist. That could be a project. So all of these are examples of projects, plus the things you shared. So there's a ton of examples. Here's the downside of niche projects. Some of them can be a lot of work. And there's the whole sales funnel idea. So part of the challenge is, if you haven't thought about the back end, if you haven't thought about, well, what's a sort of bigger package that I can be offering people once they're exposed to me, it's going to have a limited impact. It'll still help you build your list. Like, you know, I did these nonviolent communication workshops for months and months and months for free with no definite back end, with no definite, and here's the coaching package at the end of it. But that was okay because I felt like I was apprenticing and that felt appropriate. And I knew long-term it would pay off. So they're a lot of work. Every time you do them, sometimes you'll need to reinvent the wheel, which is why you want to think about something that could be kind of replicable. You're going to have to create sales materials or promotional materials for them. You've got to figure out new hubs. If you do a different project for a different niche, then you got new hubs, new materials you got to write, got to create maybe a new web page, new posters and all that. So there is a downside if people keep switching, but I think you'll see if it's something you can keep doing again and again, it actually gets easier and easier every time, and thus more and more profitable. So there you go. Those are your niche projects. So here's the homework from the call, everybody. The homework is keep refining the little circle. Some of you are kind of done. You're basically there. I would still keep refining it if you can. Clarity is power. The confused mind says no. The clearer this is, the better. Keep post your little circle on the group. I'll give feedback to it. Other people are going to give feedback. By the way, I hope you're getting you're getting a ton of my time in this program. This is a lot more, I think, than you'd probably get in another program. If you post it, you already know if you have. You've gotten my feedback, and it's not been insignificant. So I say that because I really want to encourage you to post it, because you will get support. You will get feedback from myself and from other people. And thank you again for everybody who's been so incredibly supportive. So that's homework number one. Keep refining the little circle. Post it. Get feedback. Let's get it to a point where you have at least an 8 or an above. Once you have an 8 or above as a score from people, you're good to go. And number two, pick a particular niche project that you're going to do. Because the next call, I'm going to have you report and share, probably the day before, I'll ask you to start sharing what the little circle is and what the project is that you're going to do for it. And the exciting thing is then once you share your niche project idea, of course, you can brainstorm on each other's to make it even better and cooler and hotter and more awesome and more attractive. Again, you're all going to see things for other people's stuff that you'll never see for your own, and vice versa. People will see things for yours, but that's only going to happen if you share it and you post it. So there you go, everybody. That was so much fun. I'm really enjoying looking at your little circles. Again, this is my main thing I'm doing this summer. I'm probably never going to be this focused on niche stuff again. I don't know if I'll ever be able to give this kind of intensive focus to people in a group context like this. But I'm really loving it. I'm having a lot of fun. So that's it. I'll stick around in the group for just a little while longer to see if there's any questions. But I'll keep looking at your stuff. Shabam! There you go. We'll talk to you in 1 week.